everybody. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to 1 Chronicles. That's the Old Testament. You're going to have to hunt for it. Chapter 29. And we're going to start there this morning. And I would ask you if you give me a little leeway, a little latitude on this morning. We'll jump back into 1 Corinthians next week. I know so many of you have been waiting for 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and men and women and gender issues. And you're here this morning just for that. But we're going to put that off a week. And I just want to share from my heart and several different scriptures this morning. And I want to start with a question, which is already up here. Where do you find security? Where do you find your security? And we started off Christmas Eve with a clip of Linus, the famous one in the Charlie Brown Christmas, where Linus steps up and quotes Luke chapter 2. And right when he says, "Fear not," he drops that famous blanket that is his security, that he's identified with. It's all of who he is. And he drops that right at "Fear not." And so I want to take that a little bit further. If I can, just one more message on Peanuts cartoons. It's wonderful. But I want to start this morning with Linus one more time and one more clip, if you'll watch this. Where do you find your security? Is it MetLife? I wanted really not to be a MetLife commercial at all, but I saw that and I thought, I've got to use that. Where do we find our security? Is it in an insurance policy? Is it in your job? Is your ultimate security what makes you feel like you're on solid ground? Is that in a savings account or in a retirement account? Or how about a relationship? Do you find your security in a relationship with somebody? Or how about the stock market? Is your security in the stock market? You're an absolute mess if it is. And there's nothing. And here's the thing. All of those are false security blankets. But you know what? As humans, we tend to grab onto things. We want to grab a hold of something that will make me feel secure, something that will bring security to my life. But they are false security blankets. And honestly, this morning's message, I want to give you the ending. I want to give you the big picture right up front this morning. And that is the one thing that we can count on as we head into a new year, as we head into any time or a new season. The one thing that we can count on, that you can lean your life on, is that God is in control. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're walking through. And I'll tell you, I was struggling a bit with this message. And you heard that Tom was sick. Gary got called last night to come up and to do worship. And we had no communication whatsoever. And he begins with, "God is in control." That's what we just sang, what we just worshiped. And I believe that's God putting things together to say to us, "Hey, hear this, my people. I really am in control." And not just of the big things. We think, well, yeah, okay, God's in control of the big things that happen in history and all of that kind of stuff. Here's the message. God's in control for you. God's in control for your life. If you will put your trust in Him, if you'll lean on Him, He says, "No, I'm not just in control of the big things. I want to take care of the things in your life, the things that you're struggling with." And I want us to start this new year with the Lord helping us to really grasp that. Because I know when I say God is in control, it's like, yeah, okay, we're all excited about it. But some of you are thinking, yeah, okay, oh yeah, God's in control, yeah, right. I got a question. Do you really believe it? Do you believe that God knows about you and your circumstances and He's in control of the things that are burdening you? Yeah. Amen. Because He really is. It's not just a song. It's not just a statement. It's His word to us. And I'll tell you, you know, it's easy to walk through life or to talk about God being in control when when everything's going well, right? It's like, yeah, God said things are going good and this, but it really means something when we're walking through the difficulties of life in the most difficult times. And so as we start a new year, and we walk into 2017 together, there is one thing that is true, one thing There's one thing we've learned from 2016 and 15 and 14 and 13, and that is that we don't know what's going to happen this next year. Would you agree with me on that one? We don't know what's coming up in this next year. We're not in control. If you haven't learned that, I'm hoping this morning is going to be a time to set you free. Because if you think that you're in control or think that you have to be in control of all things, you're in a miserable, difficult place. The thing that we've learned is that we are not in control. And we all face things that are out of our control. We go through storms of life. We go through difficulties. We go through difficult circumstances. We all face giants. Have you ever faced something that's bigger than you? I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to walk through this. We all face those kinds of things. We all face impossible situations. To us, it's like, I can't see any way through this. We all do. The question is, how do we deal? How do I deal with the things that are out of my control? Which I'm learning is pretty much everything. Is anybody else? I feel like God's teaching me things that, no, you're not in control of that either. You need to trust me here. You need to lean on me here. And one of the things that's true for all of us as we face the new year, as we just face the future period, is that we discover we're not in control. None of us knows what we're going to face tomorrow. We don't know what the next 365 days has for any of us. In fact, we honestly don't know what tomorrow brings, right? I thought about titling this message, Lessons from the Storm, because we all went through a real physical storm together in a flood about 3 years ago. We're still living through the effects of that storm. But what we learned during that storm is we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? Over and over, we saw that and had to lean on Him and trust in Him. And life is like that. One minute, things can be great, and we love it, and we praise God when things are going well. The next minute, you can be in the middle of an unexpected storm. And that's why for a lot of people, for a lot of even us, when we think about the future, there can be worry. I don't know what's going to happen. Or there can be fear. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. Things don't look real good. Or there can be frustration. Anybody? Oh, I can't control what's going to happen. And that can be frustrating. And then we discover that even the things that we thought we could count on, right? The things, okay, there's my security blanket. Maybe it was the economy or my retirement, or maybe it was the nation and politics or a certain politician. Whatever it might be, what we thought was secure, what we thought we had our security in, it wasn't secure. It wasn't something that was unshakable. God promises us something that is unshakable, no matter what the circumstances of life, no matter what we're walking through. And that is not in the things that we would put our security in. And while there are a lot of things that we cannot count on, that don't make good security blankets at all, there's one thing that you can count on. There's one thing that you can lean your life on, that you can build your life on, that you can trust in without any question. And it's that one thing that changes everything else. And that's that God's in control. That He really is in control. I want you to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. It says this. I love this verse. Everything in the heavens and the earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We acknowledge you as the one who is in control of all things. Can I tell you, as His people, if we'll start from there and we'll remember that and we'll let that sink into our heart, can I tell you, that's one passage of literally thousands of passages in God's Word from Him to us where He tells us the same thing over and over and over. Do you know why? Because I don't think we get it. I think we continue to get caught up in the worry and the fret. We see all the circumstances and we get our eyes off Him. And one more time, He reminds us, no, it's okay. I'm in control. I've got this. And when we live from that position, when we truly understand that, it changes everything. And the idea of what that's talking about there, it's what the Bible calls God's sovereignty. Big Bible word, but literally means that He's the absolute authority in life, that God rules and reigns over all nations and all cultures and all circumstances and all lives at all times, that He's in charge and that He's in control. And when I was thinking about sovereignty, I thought, well, let me just find another way to say sovereignty and not use the word. But I thought, no, the Bible uses sovereignty. I thought, let's look at what that means. Webster's Dictionary for Sovereignty says this: one who exercises supreme permanent authority, self-governing and independent, having supreme rank or power, one with supreme capabilities and no limitations. Thought, okay, that's good. Can I give you another way? Here's how David says it in Psalm chapter 147. It says this, "He counts the stars and he calls them all by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute and his understanding is beyond comprehension." I like the way David says it a lot better than the way Webster says it. But here's the idea. God doesn't have to consult with or depend on anyone else to make a decision. And God doesn't have to answer to anyone else for the decisions that he makes. That's what it means that he is sovereign. And it's easy for us to look at sovereignty wrong. It's not because he's some kind of, you know, God's this bullheaded dictator and it's going to be my way or the highway, right? It's because his sovereignty is because his decisions, his directions, his heart is absolutely right all the time. That he's always good. Holy is one of the main descriptions it gives us of God, that he is holy. That means that he is pure, that he is good. And because his decisions are based on what is absolutely right and absolute truth is why we can trust in him. We have great hindsight, right? We can look back, oh yeah, I should have turned left here, I should have gone right here. We've got great hindsight, but we don't always have great foresight. And we sometimes make wrong decisions. All of us do that because we don't have all of the information and we don't know how things are going to work out. We don't know all of the details of everything, but God has all the information. And I want to make this personal again, not just the big things. God has all the information about your life, for your life. What you've gone through, he knows. He knows the hurts and the pains and the brokenness. What you're going to face tomorrow and next week, he knows. And he has a plan for that. And he says, I want you to put your trust in me. We'll walk through this together. Whether it's a season of joy and blessing or whether it's a season of storm, I'll be with you. What Gary mentioned, this, no matter what, I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And so because God has all the information, he sees the whole picture. He knows all of those things. And there is nothing, there's absolutely nothing that should bring more comfort and security to the heart of the believer than knowing that. My God is in control of all things. He doesn't have the limitations I have. He sees everything. He sees from the beginning all the way to the end, and he's going to get me through whatever it is that I'm going to face. Doesn't matter when it is or what's coming. And so this idea, God is in control. The Bible says God is sovereign. Doesn't mean it's not talking about God's attitude, but the reality of who he is. That he is in complete control, that he has all the information, and that he is good and holy and wonderful. And as we look ahead to the next 365 days or beyond that, but this next year, where we don't know what in the world is going to happen, we do know this. We know what this just said, that he's in control and that we can trust him. Our security comes from there, and we need to live from that position. For thousands of years, his people, they keep running back to this. Our God is in control. We can trust him. The circumstances look like this, but we're going to turn our eyes to him. And over and over and over, we see that. And so, because God is in control, and because he's good, we've got to put those together. I got a question. Sovereignty in the hands of an evil, benevolent dictator, is that a good thing? It's horrible. We see it all around the world at times. Sovereignty in the hands of the perfect, loving, all-knowing, all-perfect God, is that a good thing? That's a good thing. And so, because he's in control, and because he's good, there's a few things that means to us that we need to remember and that we need to hold on to. So because God is in control, number one, I can be secure in his plan for my life. I have a question. Would you agree that things don't always turn out the way that we plan, the way that we see things? Do you know that's often because God has a better plan? He has a bigger picture for us. Sometimes he changes our plans. We make our plans, but God has the last word. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says it this way. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And those are great. It's his purpose, what he has for you. Remember, it's good, and it's going to prevail. If you'll trust him, if you'll put your faith in him, he'll make sure that his purposes for your life are worked out in the midst of whatever circumstances it is that you're walking through. And I've often read this passage of scripture, Proverbs 19, and kind of read it as, well, many are the plans of a man's heart, And so we make plans, but then the Lord, he guides and directs those plans. This says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord prevails. Which means there's times that I'm not planning correctly, that I'm not directing things rightly, but the Lord's plan will prevail. And because God's in control, here's what all of this is. Because God is in control and he's good and he loves you and he has a purpose for your life, because of that, your plans are going to have a limit. My plans are going to have a limit. But that's okay because he has another plan. And his plan is always bigger. It's always better than mine. What do you do when God messes up your plan? Have you ever had God mess up your plans? I'm all alone. I'm the only one that God has ever messed up his plans. God steps in and changes things. What do you do? Because you know what? He does. And when he does, it's always because he has a purpose, and it's bigger, and it's better for you, for the direction for your life, and he wants you to trust him. As a church, together, the same thing. Or individually, each one of us. And so we make our own plans, but our plans have a limit. And I don't want us to hear this, though, because there's another scripture go along with this. You shouldn't make any plans at all. You should just flail through life, waiting to see what God's going to do. He's not talking about that. In fact, the Bible says that you should make plans. Proverbs 16:9, a little bit different wording. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. You catch that? I make plans and we pursue God's heart. Lord, where do you want to go here? What do you want to do here? How are we going to work? We try to pursue his heart and then we make plans based on that and then trust him to go ahead and direct those. He may change that direction or change that course, but we can trust him as he directs my steps into his purposes and plans for my life. In other words, we should make plans, praying and trusting in him, but then with that heart of God, what's next? Where do we go from here? Can I tell you one of the prayers that I have prayed probably more often than any other prayer for us as a body, as a congregation, is, God, what's the next step? What do you have for us as a congregation? What do you want us to do? Where do you want us to be? And I'll tell you, that's a good prayer for all of us. You'd be praying that for your church. That's a good prayer. But it's a good prayer for all of us individually. Lord, what do you have for me today? Where are we going today? I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. And the more we grow as believers and come closer to him, which is our goal, right? To become more like Jesus, the more flexible we'll become and the more open we'll become to change without getting an ulcer, okay? Because why? We begin to realize that we're not in control of everything. And we begin to realize that even our best plans and our best efforts, they are tentative and they're subject to change. And we begin to realize and to understand that I'm not in control, but God is. And I want to make sure to connect these two here. If you come to the realization and the understanding that you're just not in control, can I tell you where that'll leave you? It'll leave you in a place of fear. It'll leave you in a place of worry and anxiety. I can't control this. But when you put these two together, I'm not in control, but God is. That takes us from a place of fear to a place of peace, to a place of fear not. No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, I have a God who knows me and loves me and asked me to call him Father. In the most intimate of terms, he wants that relationship and he says, I'll walk with you and I'll be with you through all of this. And so my plans will have a limit, but his don't. God's plans for you have no limit because he has all the information. He sees the beginning all the way to the end and he knows everything that you're going to walk through and he has a purpose and a plan for all of that. He sees the whole picture. And he knows what I am going to face tomorrow. He knows what I am going to face next week. God really does, because of his great love for you and me, has a plan for our lives and has a purpose for the things that we go through. And he has the whole picture in mind, total and complete. Can I tell you, I'm not that way. I'm thinking about, how am I going to get through this stinking thing right here, right now? Right? This is the focus of my, I can't see beyond that. But God sees more than that. And realizing that, he's good, he's in control, and he knows, changes everything. Because when you're going through the storms of life, when you're going through the difficult circumstances, this morning, right now, some of you are going through circumstances. Nobody else may know. You're going through things that have just tore you up inside. There's an anxiety or a worry or a fear. But I want you to hear this. God knows. He knows your heart. He knows what you're walking through. He knows the circumstances. He also knows the outcome and what's going to happen tomorrow. And his purpose for you is good. God isn't surprised by the circumstances of your life. Have you ever been surprised by the circumstances of your life? Daily? God is not surprised by the circumstances of your life. And when we understand that and that he sees the whole picture, what happens is difficult circumstances, those areas for anxiety or worry or fear, those interruptions, even terrifying situations. Well, why did this happen to me? Why did I end up in this situation? Why do I have to deal with this? Why am I going through this right now? Can I tell you, if you'll hear God's word to you, that he's in control and that he's good and that he has a purpose for all of this, those distractions turn into God-appointed opportunities. Okay, Lord, this is difficult for me and it's hard for me, but I know you have me here for a purpose. I know you got me walking through this for a purpose. You could have saved me from this, but you've got me in the middle of it. Lord, what do you want me to learn? Who do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? Is there something you need to change in me? Those are the right questions we begin to ask. Lord, we know that you love us. We know that you're in control. And so those impossible situations turn into great opportunities for faith. And the feeling that the world's falling apart turns into the assurance that, wait a minute, God is at work even in this, even in the most difficult thing that I'm walking through. He's in control. And he's good. Psalm 139. I'll give you another one here. This is David again. David says, you know when I sit down and you know when I get up. You know my thoughts before I think them. You chart the path ahead of me and you tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. Can I tell you, for some people, and maybe some of you sitting here, that terrifies you. God sees me all the time, right? He saw last night at New Year's Eve. David finishes that. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. David, that doesn't cause fear in David's heart. It causes this great peace and security. It's too wonderful for me to know. But that's who my God is, and that's how he watches over me. David basically says, I'm never out of your sight. I'm never away from your presence. And I don't know why I know that, but Lord, it's too wonderful for me to know. And so he sees everything. He's in control of everything, and he's with you. He's there with us every moment, whatever it is that we're walking through. I had two, big Bible words just hit me last night as I was studying for this. I want to try to put this together the way that the Lord did in my heart. But at Christmas, one of the names of the Lord, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Other places in Scripture, it tells us that God's name is Yahweh, which means Almighty, sovereign above all else, the God of the universe that spoke and creation came into play. That's Yahweh. His name is Emmanuel. And his name is Yahweh. And those two come together for us. The great God of creation who spoke and the stars came into existence, who spoke in the middle of storms when he walked this earth and they were calm just like that. The God who is in control of all, who stands over all kings and kingdoms and nations and cultures and all things, that God is Emmanuel, God with us. He stepped out of all of that and stepped into our mess so that we would never walk through it alone again. And he says, you can be secure. You can be secure in me. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I want, it doesn't mean, too often Christianity gets preached a different way. It does not mean that everything's going to be easy. It does not mean that everything's going to be comfortable. What it means is he'll be there. No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you walk through, he promises you're not going to walk through it alone in this life ever again. That's the promise that he gives us because he's with us. I don't have the scripture up here, but in Judges, back in chapter 6, gives us the story of Gideon. And Gideon is basically hiding because the Midianites are attacking Israel, and looks like they're succeeding and overthrowing the Israelites. And it says the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and the angel of he says, "Gideon, mighty man of valor," as Gideon's hiding in fear in the basement of his. He says, "Mighty man of fear," and he says, "God's going to use you for all of this." But Gideon says this, I want you to hear this. Gideon says, "But sir," talking to the angel of the Lord. And these are questions that I think maybe all of us might ask at some time. Gideon says, "Well, if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where's all the miracles that you told us about that our father saw? But now the Lord has abandoned us." That's a mighty man of valor. Those were his questions. And I saw something in that passage that I hadn't seen before. It says the angel of the Lord came to him. And a lot of people believe that a reference to the angel of the Lord might be Jesus in the Old Testament showing up. But I want you to hear the answer. He asks these questions. Where is he? He's abandoned us. He's left us. Where's the miracles? Why are we going through this? And then it says, "But the Lord answered him." Not the angel. All of a sudden, it's gone from a messenger to the Lord, to the one that he's worried isn't there. It says, "The Lord answered him and said, Gideon, I will be with you." Do we need any more than that? He says, "I'll be with you. In the middle of all of this, I'm with you, and I'll always be with you." That's the promise. That's where our security comes from in his plan. Secondly, because God's in control, not only am I secure in his plans, and this is a big one, I'm secure in the problems of life. I am secure in the storms. I'm secure in the circumstances of life because he's in control. Let me say that another way. Because God is in control, my problems and your problems will have a purpose. God will have a purpose, and he will use them. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 6 and 7. I was headed here with this passage, and I was talking with Tom this last week, and he brought up 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And it's like, oh, I got to go back, and we got to cover all of this. So verse 5 first says this: "This inheritance is kept for us in heaven." The beginning of 1 Peter chapter 1, he's talking about all that Christ has secured for us in heaven. That we're secure in him, that our eternal security is in him, that we have a home in heaven, that we'll be with him forever in eternity. So he says, "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are," and now he's talking about here, not the inheritance later, but here, "who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." The word shield there, it's a military term. It literally means to guard or to secure. I thought, yes, there it is. I am secured by God's power. Even in the middle of difficult times and circumstances. Let's pick up with verse 6 and 7, 1 Peter. "In this you greatly rejoice, that there's an inheritance, that God will take care of you, that his power is over you. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be," remember those three words, "if need be, you have been grieved by many different trials, that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he says, hey, there's times where there's a need that you might have to go through something difficult, a fiery trial, several ways it's described in Scripture. You may have to walk through this. And can I tell you, "if need be" really irritates me. You know what? Because I can tell you, I know I never need another trial in my life. Amen? The problem is God knows something different. And so he says, "if need be, there may be something I need to work out in your heart. There may be something I need to work out in your life. There may be something I need to work out in somebody else's life, and you need to go through this difficult thing for them. It may be all kinds of things, but if need be, we can be grieved by various trials." And I tell you, life is not just some random series of events with no meaning. I know it feels like that sometimes, especially in the difficult times. But God is in control, and life has a meaning, and your life has a meaning and a purpose, and problems, pain, difficulty has a purpose. God will use them. And if you're a believer, if you've put your faith in Him and you're a follower of Jesus, then all the adversity, all of the difficulties, all of those things that come into your life that you might question, why am I dealing with this? Please hear this. They've already been okayed by Him. He's allowed those to come into your life. In other words, I have to remember that God allows trials in my life, if need be. And He's the only one that knows those needs. He knows what I'm going to face tomorrow. He knows what I'm going to face next week. And there may be something that He has to build in my life that I could never face if He didn't take me through something first to build that character in me, to build His character in me. If need be, He might walk us through those things. And so, which means that even my problems, even your problems, even the ones that you carried in here today, they have a purpose. And no matter what you're facing, you need to know and you need to understand, here's God's message. You're not facing it alone. You're not walking through this storm alone. And no matter what it is, here's the heart that God wants you to have, wants us to have, a heart that says, you know what? I know what God can do. I don't always know what He's going to do, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to trust Him anyway. That's faith. That's real faith. I remember first seeing this in the Old Testament, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been told that they need to bow their knee to a false god, and the king says, if you don't bow your knee, you're going to be thrown into this furnace, which is burning hot, and you're going to be gone, and your God can't do anything about that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three men of faith, they were teenagers, I believe, if you follow Scripture rightly, the three men of faith, they said, hey, no, we're not going to bow our knee to another god. And we know what our God can do. He can deliver us if He wants to. We don't know what He's going to do, but we're going to trust Him anyway. We're going to trust Him anyway. That's faith, church. Not, oh, He's going to get me out of this. I think I can. I think I can. I think we get faith all mixed up, and it's not the little train that could. It really isn't. It's the big God that can, no matter what I'm facing. That's the answer. Sometimes God delivers us from things. Sometimes He allows us to go through them, and I don't know why. I feel bad at times when we get together as the body of Christ, or you'll come to me as your pastor, and it's like, why? Can I tell you what? I don't know why. I just know who. And I know the answer. He says, He'll be with you. He'll be with you no matter what that is. Lord, why did You let me go through this painful thing, but over here, You set us free from all of this? And what we see all through Scripture is sometimes He takes us through the storms, and sometimes He delivers us from the storms. There's two big storms in Scripture where the disciples are on a boat. In one of them, these are hardened, tough fishermen, and a storm comes up that causes them to cry like little girls. We're going to die! They really did. That's what they did. And it happened twice. And one time, Jesus stepped up and He calmed the storm just like that. It says it became like glass. The other time, it says He was in the boat as they went to the other side. They went through the storm. And I think there's a lesson there for us. That God's telling us, hey, I may calm the storm, I may take you through the storm, but either way, I'm in the boat with you. Either way, I'm with you, I'm never going to leave you, I'm never going to forsake you. And He will use those storms, He will use those things for good, if need be, if there's a need that He knows in your life. One of the greatest examples in all of Scripture of God letting us go through a difficult time, and that's an understatement, a difficult time for a purpose, was Jesus on the cross. The Scripture says God could have saved Him. But Jesus said, I could call down legions of angels and I could stop this right now. And you know, in the middle of that, the story tells us that it was Satan, that it was evil that had planned to crucify. It wasn't good. It was evil. But God saw the whole picture. God had a purpose. God was in control even when it looked like He wasn't. And it was through the cross that He was going to defeat Satan and save us. It was through this difficult, brutal time that he was going to defeat Satan and sin and death and give us new life again. He had a plan and he had a purpose. In 1 Corinthians, back in like chapter 2, which we've been going through, but I don't know if you remember, it says, if any of the rulers of this age had understood, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Because their great, what they thought was a victory in evil, was God's great victory for good. That's the idea of God. He's sovereign. He's in control. He'll work it out. Whatever you're walking through, he'll work it out for good. And I'll tell you, he loves to take crucifixions and brokenness and turn them into resurrections and life. That's what our God does. And he has a purpose for your life to do that, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through right now. And so if God is in control, and my problems all have a purpose, that he oversees those and there's a need for them, then how should I respond to problems? How should we respond to problems? I know I don't respond the right way all the time. I'm going to give you God's way to respond instead of Mickey's way to respond, because Paul answers this question in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. The whole first half of 8 is talking about suffering and trials and discouragement and all of those kinds of things. And Paul gets to the end and he says this, "What then shall we say to these things?" Here's the answer. Here's how we respond to these things in our life. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us and he's sovereign and he's in control of all things and he's perfect and good and has all knowledge about you and your life and what's to come, how can anything be against us? You catch that? That's our God. It doesn't matter what the future brings. I have a hope, and that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. He is our hope, and we are secure in him. We lean our life on him. Not on the future, not on a job, not on the government, not on an election, not on a savings account. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Your hope, if you want to be secure, is in Jesus Christ. He's in control of all things. Here's how Paul finishes his answer. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. He begins with, "If God is with us, who can be against us? I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Is there anything left out there? Nothing. We are secure when we're standing on the rock, and his name is Jesus. You know, there's a passage in Hebrews we've referred to over the last couple years that we've seen God work and do in our lives, where it talks about that God is going to allow things to shake one more time so that we can see the things that are unshakable. All those security blankets that we think we can hold on to and that we think are solid, that we think are going to get us through the storms and all those things, he says, "I'm going to shake things so that you find out that that doesn't work." So that we would find out that there is only one unshakable place. And that's to stand in Jesus Christ and his righteousness and his goodness for us. That's the answer. That's where he points us here. Nothing can separate us. And that's the hope of the new year. And that's the hope of the rest of your life. And that's the hope that God is in control, that nothing we face can separate us from him. And if you'll put your trust in him, you can walk in not a problem-free life, but a God-present life. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through. And then lastly, because God's in control, I'm secure because God hears my prayers. I'm secure because God, this same God that we just talked about, right? Sovereign, in control, holy, perfect, good, loving, all-knowing of me and my life. I'm secure because that same God hears my prayers when I speak. Prayer makes a difference. I want you to hear this personal, because some of you don't believe this. Your prayer makes a difference. Your prayer makes a difference. Do you ever feel like they don't? You get down on your knees and you start to pray and you close your eyes and then these thoughts come into your head of, nobody's listening to this. Who are you talking to? This is stupid. The dishes need to be done. The car needs to be washed. Anybody else? You just get bombarded with all of this stuff. And you end up feeling like you're talking to the wall and your prayers don't get past the ceiling and you get discouraged. You're not alone. I struggle with that too. In fact, that's the first thing. No, you're not alone. Secondly, those thoughts are not coming from you. there's an enemy that knows the power of prayer. There's an enemy that knows that when God's kids who have put their trust in Him speak to Him and begin to pray and begin to trust in Him and begin to bring everything to Him, that the works of the enemy and the darkness and all of that stuff in our life is defeated. Jesus defeated them at the cross. He doesn't want us talking. And He knows well that prayer does make a difference. When we pray, when you pray, I want to make this personal. When you pray, heaven moves. When you pray, His light will invade darkness. The word out there in our culture is the church. Well, we're kind of an irrelevant little thing that just gets in the way and is on the side. Can I tell you the truth? The church that prays and has put their faith and trust in the God of all creation is the most powerful force on this earth. That's you and me, His kids. He's put us here to go through storms, to face whatever it is that we might need be, but to bring His light and to bring His kingdom rule wherever we go. And He says, I've given that to you. You can talk to me about anything at any time. And the truth is, let's put these together again. Prayer changes things. Prayer means something. Prayer is powerful because God is in control. If He wasn't, prayer would be a whole waste of time. But He's opened a door for us to come to the Creator, to the one who, again, is sovereign over all, and that's the one that we talk to. That's the one that we bring our prayers to. He's in control of the He's in control of the uncontrollable. He's in control of the things that are out of your control. He can invade impossible situations with life and with light. I want you to hear this morning. I want you to hear it with your heart from Him and not from me. When you're facing things that are bigger than you are, when you're facing things that are out of your control, when you're facing impossible situations, you have a higher authority that you can appeal to. And He can do things that you never thought possible. God's complete help, the Creator, the Sovereign One, His complete help, all of His resources are available to you and me in times of trouble, in difficult times. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, because God's in control, because He is who He says He is, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find condemnation and ridicule from our Father in heaven. Does it say that? We come to His grace so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There's what happens when we step into His throne rooms. More than resources, we have Him. He's given us all the resources of heaven. Ephesians tells us that. Blessed be the God and Father who has given us all the resources. But more than that, He's given us Himself. His presence. 1 John chapter 5. Let's skip to that one. Sorry, guys, I'm running all over the place. You're doing an awesome job following me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, underline that in your Bible, there's the key. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You have God's ear, the Sovereign One, the one who stands above all. You have His ear. And when you pray and we ask something in His will, not my will, we do that a lot. Lord, my kingdom come, my will be done. I want this done right here. That's not what He promises us. What He promises us is when we pray according to His will, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done right here in this difficult, dark situation. Lord, I don't know how to handle it, but You do. We put this into Your hands. Your will be done here. It says He hears that. He hears that. We have His ear. Invading the impossible. That's praying, Lord, Your kingdom come. Your will be done. There it is again. My will? No, His will. Don't miss this. We don't get to pray whatever we want and that happens. That's Santa Claus. You ask Him and you hope to get what you want. This is the living God who says, my kids' hearts will be taken by my desires and my wills and begin to pray that and to bring that into broken, difficult, dark circumstances on this earth. That's the authority that He gives us. Your prayers have an impact because God is in control and He has all authority. Can I tell you that's the basis for miracles? God's sovereignty. Have you heard this morning yet that God's in control? Everything else is built on that. If he wants to overrule nature, he can. If he wants to overrule human law, he can. If he wants to overrule a government, he can. He's sovereign. He's God. And he's the one we have his ear. And it says, this is the confidence. This is the security that I want you to have, he says. Whatever you ask, I'll hear you. And then more than that, the very next verse, verse 15 of 1 John chapter 5. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Does that bother you? Do you struggle with that? I've struggled with it at times. Whatever I ask, wait a minute. I can't forget the verse just before that. Whatever I ask according to his will. Whatever I ask of his desires and his hope to happen in a situation, that will be done. That's the promise. That's a wonderful promise from God to his people. And so he is our security. Because God is in control, I can be secure in his plan for my life. You can be secure in his plan for your life. And know that he does have a plan and that he does have a purpose. And he may change your plans for his plan, and that's okay because they're bigger. I can be secure no matter what the problems or the circumstances of life. My problems will have a purpose because he's in control. And my prayers will make a difference. That's our inheritance, it says. That's our security as believers. And I want to close this morning. If you're here and you'd say, well, I'm not a believer. I didn't walk in here a believer. Can I tell you, God wants you to hear this. You walked in here maybe carrying all the burdens of last year, thinking you're in control, thinking you need to be in control. Whatever that weight and that burden is, God wants to take that from you. And he wants to reveal to you that, hey, you're not in control and you don't have to try to be anymore. That he wants to take your life and he has a great purpose and he has a great plan for you. That's his promise. That's his word. When you stop trying to be in control and you let him be in control, changes everything. It'll change 2017. It'll change the rest of your life because the God of all creation wants to come and walk with you through whatever it is you're going to face in life. Doesn't want you to walk alone. And church, for us as believers, that same thing. We need to let this grab our hearts. As I'm reading through this and I was studying this week, God is in control. There were times that even for me, it was like I could let that just be a saying. Do you know what I mean? Oh yeah, God's in control. Great. No, God is in control. And it's the God that knows you and loves you. He's in control. That's the message. Good message to start the new year off. Amen? Amen. His message, not mine. So we're going to take communion together. Would you stand with me? And I want to invite you. The communion table is a reminder. It's a place where Jesus said, come to my table as often as you do in remembrance of what he did for us, that his body was broken, that his blood was shed for us. And the communion table, I want to be really, really clear about this morning. I want every ear, I want every eye, then I know I've got the ears. I want you to hear this, that the communion table and the invitation that Jesus gives, this is for those who have put their trust in him, who have said, yeah, I'm not in control, but I put my life in the hands of my Savior, the one who is in control. And he says, those that have done that, that have put their faith in him, here's a remembrance. We come to the table together as family. All our faults and all our failures, we come to our Savior who gives us his righteousness. And so the invitation is to believers. But way too often at communion, the message has gone out almost as, well, if you're not a believer, you're a dirty dirt down here somewhere. You don't. Please hear this. Jesus stands here today at his table with open arms. And he says, come. You don't have to go through a class. You don't have to go through a catechism. You don't have to go through a bunch of hoops to come to Jesus. You just have to have a heart that says, I need the Savior. And he's opened his heart to me today. I'm coming to his table. That's it. Nothing more. Well, you got to clean up this. No, he's going to take care of that. You just come to him. And so my invitation is his invitation. It's not to come to a church. It's not to come to religion. It's to come to your Savior and say, I recognize that I need him. I'm going to put my life in His hands. And so I want to invite you, if that's you today, you come with the rest of the family, with the rest of His kids, and we're going to come together.